kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Us to talk on, and we're calling this "We Are Being Changed or Transformed." We are being changed or transformed. We're not always aware of the transformation that is taking place within us spiritually. Many times we're actually quite blind to it. We're very aware of children, babies, adults, elderly people, all of us changing. And we will often say after we see someone after a few years that they've changed or they look different or their hair has been cut different. Or they've been away on holiday, they look tanned, or whatever it would be. We're all very aware of those changes outwardly with us, or our circumstances, or the area we live. But we're not very good at those inner changes, those transformations. And they're the most vital thing. And God wants us to be aware that those changes, if we're in Jesus Christ, are indeed happening in our lives. And turn with me, if you will, we're based this from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed or changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is a miraculous work that the Holy Spirit does, the same as our salvation is. This is something that man can't muster up or try and achieve in himself or try and do this through technology or whatever. This is a work of the Spirit. And it says that, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Did you know that God has removed the veil of sin from you, from your face? That you now can look in a mirror and you can see this transformation, that no longer you're seeing yourself, but you're seeing the image of Jesus Christ being formed in your life. That is what it's meaning here. This change from glory to glory. And it says that we are changed into the same image of Jesus Christ, the very Spirit that moved and worked in his life, that raised him from the dead, is the same work and power of the Spirit transforming you and I into his likeness. And each day we are being transformed, changed more and more into his likeness. This is why the Word of God is so essential for this transformation, this change. It's this Greek word metamorphosis, which is rendered as transfigured. And it's the same understanding of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, the same work, the same what the Spirit was doing there is the same what he's doing through us by the Spirit. Let's turn, if we will, to Matthew 17 and verse 2. Matthew 17 and verse 2. This is where it speaks of Jesus who was transfigured on the mount. And it says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John, his brother, and led them up on high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And then appeared with him Moses and Elijah, talking with him. So it means that he changed. He became spiritual in a sense. He was enclosed in pure light, radiant. And we also note that he takes with him Peter, James and John, which is an indication that you can go higher with the Lord. Not all the disciples were there, but those three were, who saw this. And the Lord had a reason for them to see this experience that they would carry with them in their walk with God and their writings in the epistles and gospels. And so this work that we see here is the same type of work spiritually that God is doing with us that we've just read there in 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is now being done in the heart, in the spiritual side of you. This is why we are worshippers of God in spirit and in truth. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. You cannot bring any of this that we're talking about to sight, to feelings, to emotions. This is nothing to do with the flesh. This is all spiritual that's taking place in and through you, that is preparing you for eternity. And God wants you to be aware of this and to know that this is happening, that you are being changed, you are being transformed. Let's take this a step further in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves and our bondservants for Jesus' sake. So he now goes to the gospel. The gospel is the means of unveiling all of this. And this is why the God of this world blinds the minds to this unveiling, unless they should experience the light of the gospel. This light is the same light that transfigured Jesus on the mount. The power of the gospel transforms us. It changes us. It's light unto our spirit to lighten our path that we walk in the ways of righteousness. This is why this word, the gospel, is supernatural. It's not like any other book. No other book can do this, only the word of God. Praise his name. We also get a similar understanding in Romans. If we turn to Romans 12, and verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So your mind again is being changed, transformed. Just like our Lord, who was transfigured, glorified, the same light, the same power, the work of the Holy Spirit, that is the same that's working with you, with your mind. Your mind is being transformed by the light of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. It's renewing your mind. This renewing is that it's casting out all wrong thinking, attitudes, wrong teaching, those things that we picked up. It is a work of deliverance taking place in the mind for the purpose that you can not only walk in fellowship with God, but that you can know the perfect will of God. That's what it's for, to know the perfect will of God. And that's why he baptizes us in the power of the Spirit, for this very purpose. So only the anointing of the Spirit can do this change, this transformation. And he calls us in order which to do this. You see, if God doesn't call from the foundation of the world, this experience will never happen. For example, if we turn to Romans 8, verses 29 to 30. Romans 8, 29 to 30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Here is this type of word again, this being transformed, this being changed. We are predestined for this change, this transformation into the image of Jesus Christ. You were called before the foundation of the world that he would set this work upon you and I, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, whom he also called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. It's all a work of God, a work of grace, that no man should boast in any of this. This is the work of God. And this is why we give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor and respect. But you can only know that, brothers and sisters, if you are aware of this change, this transformation that is taking place in your life. We should be aware of these changes. Change of mind and thinking. Deliverance, healing, in other words. And if we're not, then we need to go before the Lord and seek God and ask that he will show, he will help in these changes in your life, that you may be aware of it, to give him all the praise and all the glory. You see, the apostle, he said that he was in a race. And there's always a set time that he works with us. The same with the church. The same with us individually or corporately. There's always a set time in God's season where he works in the way that he does. Well, I'm reminded of God who worked for 40 years trying to change the children of Israel. but they would have none of it, because God has also set within us a free will. So we can allow this change, this transformation, or we can resist it, you see. And those that resist it will never know of these changes. The children of Israel, 40 years walking with God, seeing the greatest miracles that any nation's ever seen, but it didn't change them because they were stiff-necked, they were proud. They resisted, they didn't believe, they didn't mix faith with that which they heard. And this is why these changes, these transformations are so vital in our lives, in order that we believe him, that we walk by faith. If your faith should be getting stronger and stronger, you should be seeing breakthroughs with your faith. Less trusting in man and the arm of the flesh. This is a clear sign I'm being changed, transformed by the glory that was upon Jesus is upon me as well. This inner work spiritually. And only you can answer that one before the Lord. That's why our faith has to be worked on, which is shaping us into his image. And we have to indeed use our faith in order for this change, to believe. You have to release faith today in this teaching that you're hearing, that as you take what you're hearing before God, that you believe he will do and continue to do this change and transformation. Because if you don't believe this, it's not going to happen. You're not changing, you won't grow. And that's why we see with the man-child, Revelation 12, in the womb of the woman, that child is growing, developing. That 9 spiritual months that it takes for a child. That is what should be happening with us, with FGA and others who listen to this teaching and other overcomers around the world. This is healthy. Change, development, growth is always a healthy sign. It's what you expect to see with your children. And you would be very concerned as parents if you were not seeing these changes. And indeed you are. Look how you react with your children if you see these things that are not happening as they should be. And yet we can be so backward with our spiritual growth, which is the most important thing. Because that is what we should be looking for, expecting in our walk with the Lord. What does it say in James, the book of James? Chapter 1 and verse 12. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures trials or temptations. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to those who love him. So in many ways, the trials, the temptations, the changes, the transformations, in other words, there's a crown there for those who endure, who stay with it, who are seeing this spiritual change. To those who love him. So there's the motivation. It's because it's done out of love. You love the Lord because he first loved you, you see. What does he say in verse 26, 27? If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. There's your transformations. There is your changes taking place. And one of the things that takes place if you are being transformed and changed is the tongue. We sin so easily with the tongue. We don't know when to stop. But you see, God will open our eyes and ears and heart and show us these things that don't glorify him, that are not pleasing in his sight. We may think they're all right, but they're not with God. And so often we make excuses because it's our character, it's our personality. That's the devil's lie. We're being changed, we're being transformed. That's what we're talking about today, from glory into glory. Now, what does it say in James chapter 2, verses 17 to 20? 17 to 20 of chapter 2. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So it's confidently saying there that your faith produces the works that gives you that confidence in Jesus Christ. Not to boast about it, but it's an encouragement. It's a positive sign. That's what it means there. And then verses 21 to 26 of the same chapter. Was not Abraham and his father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? So our works of faith make faith perfect. It completes it. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So there we are. People can talk about faith, but unless we walk, we act our faith, we take those steps of faith, it's in vain. It's dead. You can talk, you can know as much theology as you like, but it's dead. Why is faith so important? Acting our faith, because it changes us. It transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. That is why faith is so paramount, and we make so much of it for that very purpose. And James clearly reveals this here. And so I go back to what I was saying at the beginning of this teaching. It's important that you know what is changing in you. You should be seeing your faith. You should be aware of these changes. You should also be aware of the conviction of the Holy Spirit when he's challenging you now to start to believe and act your faith. And he will do that. That's his love and grace and mercy. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 4 to 5. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So the apostle is throwing the question right back to them. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's writing this second epistle to them. And he's now getting them to examine themselves. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. And that was always the stress of his ministry and teaching. He labored in the word and with those saints about living by the power of God in you. Not you, but the power of God in you. Because if you don't know that, you will not experience this transformation, this being changed. You can only be changed by the power of God living in and through you. Yet he lives by the power of God. That's how we do. The Apostle Paul lived by the power of God. Is that your confession? I live by the power of God, not my own power or strength. Make that your confession. Confess that every morning till you begin to see that happening in your life. Because confession brings possession. Confess it sometimes into being. That's what he's expecting and believing of us. We also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So there's a weakness, and that weakness is the flesh, which he still lives in us. He's giving this analogy, if you like, of the flesh and the spirit that are in conflict. And he's showing the only way we overcome the flesh, which holds unbelief, is the power of God. There's no unbelief in the power of God. There's no limitations in the power of God. The power of God was so great, not only did it form and create the worlds, but it also raised Jesus from the dead. It overcame death and the devil. And it is that same power that changes and transforms you and I. And you should know this. You should be experiencing this, these changes. Because he says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith that we preach, in other words, the gospel. Test yourselves. Here it is. We're making tests today. And it says you are to do that as well. Set yourself a test. That's what they do at school. That's what you had at school. You had these tests. They were for the purpose of teachers to see where you are, how you're learning, or what you're not understanding yet. This is exactly what we're to do. Do you not know yourselves? This is what he's saying. Do you not know yourselves? Do you not know that you are in Christ? Do you not know that you live by his power? Do you not know that you are being changed, transformed from glory into glory? Do you not know this? He raises a question. I do, as a preacher. as your pastor. That Jesus Christ is in you. Unless you're going to be disqualified, because he isn't. And if he isn't in you, you'll eventually walk away. You will go away. And we've seen them go away. By this very thing. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So he's saying, I'm that example. We're not. We are confident. I am confident. I stand in Christ and Christ in me. And he's able to minister that and be a witness of that to help and encourage them, you see. We need to really know what it is that's shaping and transforming us. Or we can listen to this anointed teaching from FGA and boy, are we blessed beyond words. But I get the fear of God at times, what he's requiring from us with regard to this. And I wonder how many of us really understand that, have the fear of God of that. But we will only know if we are being changed, we are being transformed. And that's why the Lord was transformed on the mount and took with him Peter, James, John. That was an awesome sight taking place. That was to show them that that would be the inner work of the Spirit when they were baptized and empowered by the Spirit. That's what will happen to you. What has you seen that's happened to Jesus? You've been witnesses. You've seen it for yourself. And this is what the apostle labors with. That this will be in our lives. And we should expect it. We should be experiencing it. It's something that we should be walking in. And at times we examine ourselves where we are in all of this. There are times through examination when we have to bow our heads. I've done it. Lord, I've walked all these years with you. I should be at a further place than this. I should have learnt this years back, but I'm still battling or whatever. It's humiliating. But thank God that he doesn't give up on us. That's the long suffering and mercy and grace of God. But he also says, my spirit won't always strive with man. And those who are put to one side, who should be with us in fellowship, that is a clear sign. His spirit will not strive with man. He'll put them to one side. And that'll be the mercy and grace of God. God is God. And nobody can tell him. He knows the heart. As I say so often, you will only know if you're eternally called by staying with it. To the end, enduring, keep walking, keep coming, keep in fellowship with God, keep in the word and prayer. They are the signs. They're the signs that will do that change and that transformation. Because if you keep coming, you keep listening, you keep staying with it, it's got to happen. Because this is the power of the gospel to transform and change by the Spirit. We've just read it to you. But he does want us to know at times to examine ourselves to see that these changes are happening. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Are we being changed or transformed? We are so blessed, so privileged, And few, it seems, that really are going on into the deeper life and walk. But God has had mercy and grace on us, and we heard something that called us to go deeper. I don't understand what it is, but you just know it's right, it's there. It just makes sense spiritually. But this deeper life in the Spirit is a transformation. It is a changed life. It is changing. And that's what it's supposed to do. That is the nature of the deeper life in the Spirit. Praise God.